Guys,
it's jazzy. Yeah, I'm just still trying to deal with this. Two things. I'm using a microphone and I'm using my headphones, so hopefully this is gonna come out fucking clear, because otherwise I'll be pissed that I did like an hour worth of an episode and nothing comes out and you just hear nothing. Second of all, I just want to put a trigger warning on this episode. If you guys are very sensitive to self-harming, rape, and just anything along with mental health and any kind of sexual abuse and physical abuse and drug use of any sort, I also would like you to be trigger warned. This is going to be about trafficking. This is my story that I'm sharing with you guys, but I just wanted to give you a trigger warning before I continued with this. And so in 1, 2, 3. Hey guys, it's Jazzy. Hopefully you guys are all doing really, really well. It is Wednesday, August 2nd. Can you believe it? It's already fucking August 2nd. It doesn't even feel like it should be August. But anyways, it's Wednesday, August 2nd. It's like 8 something in the morning over here in beautiful Colorado. We've been getting some weird storms over here. Don't know what it's like up in the mountains. So if you're up in the mountains of Colorado, I don't know what you guys are experiencing, if you guys are getting the thunderstorm and the lightning storms that we have, but it's been really, really interesting. I mean, so interesting. But anyway, today I just figured we would do something a little bit different. I kind of wanted to tell you guys about my story about trafficking. I also would like to just point out some facts before I go in and tell you kind of my experience. First and foremost, I want to let you guys know that trafficking comes in many forms, and what I'm going to tell you about my story is not some kind of elite child pedophile ring. It's not some elite like trafficking ring or anything like that. I was not kidnapped, nothing like that. But my story just consists of how I was pimped out and how I was controlled with some drug use and how I was being used for my body for sex. So, with that being said, I just want you guys to know that human trafficking is recruitment, transportation, transfer, and harboring of recipients of people through force, fraud, and deception, with the aim of exploiting with the profit. Men and women and children of all ages from all backgrounds can become victims of this crime, which occur in every region of the world. Traffickers often use violence or fraudulent unemployment agencies or fake promises of education and job opportunities to trick and coerce their victims. Human trafficking involves the use of force, fraud, and coerce to obtain any and some type of labor or commercial sex act. Every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked worldwide, including right here in the United States. It can happen to any community, and the victims can be at any age, race, gender, or nationality. Traffickers might use the following methods to lure their victims into trafficking situations, such as violence, manipulation, false promises of well-paying jobs, and romantic relationships. Language barriers, fear of their traffickers, and the fear of law enforcement frequently keep victims from seeking help, making human trafficking a hidden crime. Traffickers look for people who are easy targets for a variety of reasons, including psychological or emotional vulnerability, economic hardship, lack of social safety net, national disasters, political instability. A trauma caused by the traffickers can be so great that many may not identify themselves as victims or ask for help, or even as high public settings. Sex trafficking is human trafficking for the purpose of sexual exploitation. It has been called a form of modern slavery because of the way victims are forced into sexual acts non-consensually in the form of sexual slavery. Trafficking of children is a form of human trafficking and is identified in the United States nations as a recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or recipient / kidnapping of a child for the purpose of slavery, forced labor, and exploitation. Debit bondage, also known as debt slavery, bonded labor, or penmanship, is the pledge of a person's service as security for the repayment or debt of their obligation. With that being said, who experiences human trafficking, you may ask? People who have been trafficked represents groups and identities who may not have associated with this crime. They may include people experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness, people who struggle with substance dependency, that would be drugs and alcohol, people who identify as LGBTQIA, sex workers, that would include prostitutes and strippers, minors who are not residing with their legal guardian, that's usually someone who's 16 who runs away a lot, undocumented individuals, that would be someone who's trying to probably get across the border, such as a Hispanic, an Asian, etc. And then, of course, there's the allies and the refugees, which again would be in the undocumented individuals. You then might ask, where does human trafficking occur? Human trafficking is a global issue, which means it can be in your country, state, city, or neighborhood. Trafficking has also been identified in places such as where I live in Colorado. Hospitality, like restaurants and hotels, construction industry, commercial sex industry such as sex work, escort services, or exotic dancing. Within migrant or agriculture, labor, that would be such as like your Hispanics that may be working over here to get citizenship or just over here working to send money back to their family. That might be for a prior time of 6 months to 12 months. Through debit bondage or recruit or coyote. Through involuntary servitude or arranged enforced marriages. That would basically be like what they do in other countries such as like India, where you just are forced into another marriage when you're very young and your husband may end up being about 10 to 20 years older than you. Through commercial sexual exploitation of children, which is the CSEC. Within labor operations exploiting children, such as magazine crews and farm laborers. The Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000, as amended, which is 22 U.S.C. and 7102, defines several forms of trafficking in a person, like I said, sex trafficking, which is the recruitment of harboring, transportation, and obtaining the act of sex. And this could also be forced by the person being in some kind of fraud or a person who is not of 18, of an illegal age of 18. There is labor trafficking. That is the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, obtaining a person of labor services, such as force, fraud, or involuntary solution, debit bond, or slavery. A good example that I believe labor trafficking would be is someone as Britney Spears' incident. There is a difference, though the people will ask, is there a difference between human smuggling versus human trafficking? Yes, they are, because human trafficking are victims that are forced basically into the trafficking situation, even if the victims essentially consent. That consent is meaningless, meaning you can go in and you can say, yes, I will work for you to pay off $600 that I owe you that you gave to me to help me pay my rent. But when it comes down to it, that $600 that you paid becomes more. They pimp you out, basically. Some people are asking, like, how victims may be trafficked. Actions means, but does not mean, to be present in a situation of sex trafficking or minors. Could be recruitment, that's including productive, targeting or vulnerable and grooming behaviors. Harboring, which includes isolation, confinement, monitoring. Transportation includes movement and arranging travel. Providing, which includes giving to another individual. Obtaining, which includes forceful taking, exchanging something for ability to control. Soliciting, which offers something of value. Patronizing, which includes receiving something of value. Now, only for sex trafficking specifically, there's force, which includes physical restraint, physical harm, sexual assault, and beatings. And you're being monitored often and being controlled. Fraud, which includes false promises regarding employment, wages, work conditions, love, marriage, or maybe a better life. Over time, you may be expected to change work conditions for the debate agreements. There's coercion, which includes serious threats of harm and physical restraint against any person's psychological manipulation, and shame and fear-induced threats to share information or pictures or others to report to authorities, such as the cops. Commercial Sex Act is an act on account of anything valuable given to receive by person. Voluntary servitude, which is a scheme, plan, and pattern intended by a person to believe that the person did not enter or continue such conditions. That person or another person would suffer serious harm or physical restraint or abuse threatened by the abuser in the legal process. Debt bondage, which includes, of course, a pledge of service by a debt or someone under debt's control to pay known under the charges. And then there's penance, which is the status condition of involuntary servitude based on real alleged indebtedness. And, of course, there's slavery. Is the state of under ownership and control of somewhere forced other? With that being said, I would like you to know that there are help for victims out in trafficking. To get help, maybe report a tip, find services, and learn more about your options, you can do so through the National Human Trafficking Hotline, which provides assistance to victims in crisis through safety and planning, emotional support, and connections of local resources. You can call 1-888-373-7888, or you can text HELP to 233-733, which comes out to be HELP. Text HELP to be free. Or you can email help@humantraffickinghotline.org, or just visit www.humantraffickinghotline.org. It is confidential. It's 24 hours available, and it's 100% toll-free from any phone number whatsoever that you need. There are also signs where you can put your finger up, where your thumb is across your four fingers, and punch it down, your fingers down, and make it look like a fist. And if you just keep making that sign over and over again, that could also be a help for somebody who may be going through sex trafficking or any kind of trafficking, human trafficking, period. With that being said, I will give that information one more time at the end of this episode with you guys. So, with that being said, furthermore, I would like to tell you about my experiences through trafficking. As I said prior, at the beginning of this, mine does not consist of being kidnapped as a child or forced as a child to do any kind of sexual acts. I was not forced into having any debt or anything, but with that also being said, I did have some debt during this time. I would like to keep my traffickers' names anonymous for the fact that they are still around, and I would not like, for my own safety and of course being a mother, the safety of my child, to not use anyone's actual names. So with that being said, we are going to call them Bob. Bob and Joe will be the name of my sex traffickers. As I said, it is safety precautions for not just me, but for my daughter, because of the fact that they have not been caught during this. And in the note that maybe by chance they ever run across any of my stuff, it is for my protection that I have to name them anonymously as Joe and Bob. So, with that being said, let's start off with Bob. I met Bob when I was about 20 or 21 years old. I met Bob through MySpace. I believe it was MySpace. At the time, this was the 2000s, the late 2000s, when I was 21. I was going through college to be a medical assistant. It would be my first time attempting my challenges as college. At the time, it was only a 12-month program, but financially, I was not able to do it. At this time in my life, I was under a lot of stress. My mental health was just starting to come out. I was very vulnerable, and at the time, I really didn't have very many friends. At this point in my life, I only had one real relationship. Within that one relationship that I actually had was the person that I just so happened to lose my virginity to when I was at the age of 19. So I did not have very much sexual experience whatsoever. Joe and me had made arrangements on MySpace. At the time, this was a time where MySpace was a big deal. This was before Facebook ever became kind of popular. Facebook was in, but a lot of people just weren't having it. It was more just MySpace, but at the same time, MySpace was kind of dying in that situation too, for social media. But social media was like a big thing. So we talked over MySpace. We talked for a few days. It became a thing where he wanted to, and if I change his name, just know that it's not the same. I'm never gonna give this identity out. It's just that I probably forgot halfway in the middle of what I was saying. So if the name changes, sorry for the confusion. But, he literally had messaged me on MySpace. We started talking for a few days. In this time of talking, I felt like I was connected, that I had this connection with somebody. Like, oh wow, we have so much in common. It was something as stupid as we have the same common music. At the time, Hollywood Dead had just came out, and they were a big thing. And I remember that we had bonded over Hollywood Undead. It was not something, when I look back on it, that to me I thought was normal. I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted love. I felt like I was abandoned a lot as a child, which I was. But I feel like I had a lot of abandonment issues, and I struggled with my mental health. And I was just latching out to anything and anybody who would give me attention, because all I wanted was love and attention. So when Joe over here messaged me and we started talking for like probably about a week, I just felt like I was on top of the world. I was like, oh, it's so nice to actually get attention and affection. I love this. He would compliment me, or he would say something about like one of my, like, a piece of clothing that I was wearing, whether that be a t-shirt or something. And then it kind of started off being like one of those things, you know, it would be really cute if, you know, you're skinny enough that it would really work if you wore like short shirts, maybe if you like showed your belly a little bit, you know, you have a belly piercing, you should. And at the time, I did have a belly piercing. At the time, I wasn't thinking anything of it. I thought it was harmless, but you should wear more belly shirts. You're really skinny and you look really good. You know, your chest, you should wear more V-neck shirts. They would look really good on you. You would have great cleavage for that. At this time in my life, by the way, I did not have a chest at all. I had no boobs whatsoever. I was pretty much flat-chested. I had my big old hips, my big butt, but that was about it. And I was probably about 95 pounds at the time. And I kept saying, no, I'm just too skinny. At the time, I was starving myself, so I was having a really hard time with my identity as was. I would say that I was really into the gothic, like, emo stage when Hot Topic was really a big thing, and everybody in the emo stage before it went gothic is what I was wearing. I would probably say I was shopping at Journeys for my shoes, because I was really into that too. So if you could picture that, then you'll understand maybe like what I was wearing at the time. And yes, it was all mostly like plaid, chains, black, white, things like that. So anyway, he said one day, he's like, well, here's my phone number, text me sometime, maybe we can go out and we can have dinner, I'll take you on a date. I kind of had like some anxiety about it because I was like, I don't really know who you are, and I've only been talking to you for a week, I don't know if I feel comfortable meeting somebody offline and just having a date with them. The next day, I said, fuck it. And I was kind of like in a mood where I was like, fuck it. I'm bored. It's Friday. Why not? Messaged him. He literally got back to me right away and was like, hi, Jasmine. How are you? And he really played it really well. He's like, maybe we should go do something tonight. I said, oh, sure. Why not? And he's like, let's go. I'll take you out to dinner. You want to go have sushi? And I said, yeah, sure. Let's go have sushi. At the time, I thought this was a harmless sushi date, and it started off quite harmless, may I mind you. We went out to sushi. May I mind you, I probably had like sushi one time prior to this in my life, and I think I was a kid, and when I was a kid, I didn't like it because it was raw fish. As I would normally get a California roll from my dad would always order that, or my mom would always order California rolls for me because I couldn't handle the raw fish. I went to the sushi place, just opened, and I started eating the sushi, and I started drinking the liquor. Saku, whatever the hell it's called, and I started taking shots of it. By the way, looking back on this now, I can see I was very drugged, but I didn't notice that at the time because I never had sake. That's what I'm thinking of. I never had sake before. At the time, I remember I only take like 2 shots of sake. And now, for some people who aren't used to alcohol levels, and at this time I really wasn't, I'd only been drinking like Jack Daniel's wine coolers and shit at this point, would know that you do kind of get fucked up on sake. You really do. And so that's what happened. I got fucked up on the sake. And, but it was only like 2 shots and I shouldn't have. And I just remember I got really violently sick and I literally just like vomited everywhere. At the time, this was like, it was a restaurant, but it was like you could sit up in the front and you could watch the sushi get made in front of you. They would give you the sake right in front of you. excuse me. You didn't have to do anything whatsoever, except for just order it and pay for it. And I just remember I got really violently sick out of nowhere, and I was like, I've never had this reaction before. So I chalked it up that maybe I was just allergic to the fish, and the sake may have been just too much for me. I just remember being like really dizzy too. Like, abnormally dizzy, and I kind of felt like I was, like, fading in and out, almost as if I was gonna pass out. What I did not know then, that I know now, is that I was date rape drugged. And at the time, like I said, I didn't know that because I wasn't paying attention, but I did get date raped. He had put something in my drink, and I got date raped. And basically, I was just like fading in and out. May I mind you, it is a winter night. It's blizzarding outside. At this time, this was not normal weather for this time of year. I think it was like around my birthday. I actually think I just turned 21, actually. And so I think this was supposed to be like a happy 21st slash let's have dinner and have a date. Anyway, I remember just going in and out. At the time, I didn't live very far from this restaurant. But next thing I remember, I was in a car, his car, and I just remember everything just getting really dizzy, and I was like in and out of, like, it was like I'm in and out of reality. I remember looking at, and I remember seeing the snow falling. Somehow, at some point, we ended up on the interstate, and I was like, where are we? He's like, oh, well, we had to take a ride to my mom's house really fast. I had to make sure that my mom, because this is true, his mom did live out in the middle of, like, this farm in the middle of nowhere. But at the time, I'm sure that's not what was happening, because I was drugged, so I can guarantee you that that's not what happened. And he just made up a story. But anyway, he was like, why don't you just lay back? You're really, really dizzy and stuff. And I remember I had to pee, like, super fucking bad. It's cold outside. It's blizzarding. We're now stuck in traffic because of the weather. The roads are really icy and stuff. And eventually I just got out of the car and I said, fucking pee. Yes, there were cars everywhere surrounding us. But I said, fucking pee. I got back in. And he's like, let me warm you up here. Turns on the heater, and I remember him putting the seat back. He said, just relax, Jasmine, it's okay. And I said, I just don't feel good right now. And he goes, don't worry about it, you're gonna be okay, you're just having a reaction to the fish, it's normal. I felt really dizzy, I felt weak. I just remember not being able to feel my body at all. And I just kind of collapsed into the seat, and I just remember, next thing I know, I just kind of remember him and his hand. He like grabbed my breast and he goes, well, these are nice. Maybe someday we can get you a boob job though, and they would be better. And, like, literally, he said that to me. That's something I vaguely remember. And he was rubbing on my nipple and my breast, and I just remember at that very moment of time that I just like vaguely remember that, and it kind of felt like I was in a dream. No one knows what date rape is. That's what it does to you. It numbs you. You don't really know what's going on, and at the same time, you lose your memory temporarily, and you're almost like paralyzed temporarily. So I was like very like freaked out too, because I didn't know what was going on, and I giggled and I said, oh, I know, yeah, I don't have big boobs at all. Sorry about that. And I made a joke and I said, hopefully that's not a deal breaker for you. And the next thing I remember was he starts rubbing my stomach really slowly, like back and forth. He's like, how's your stomach feeling, Jasmine? Are you okay? And the next thing I know, his hand was going down my pants. And at the time, I just wasn't registering what was happening. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Next thing I know, he's pulling my dress up and my underwear to the side, and he starts having sex with me. And this is very hard for me to talk about, sorry guys, but I think it's something that needs to be talked about. And he just starts having sex with me. It wasn't very, very long at all. To me, it felt like forever. This was my first experience being molested. And at this point, I remember him wiping me clean and putting my underwear back, fixing my dress, and he kissed me on the forehead, and he said, thank you for that. I had a really good time with you. And next thing I knew, I was at my house, and I kind of snapped back into reality. At this point, I went into my house. I was so scared to tell anybody because I didn't think that anybody would listen to me whatsoever. I went back, I took a shower, and in the shower, I just started to cry. I lost it. I was freaking out. I was shaking. I didn't know what to do. I went to bed. Actually, I probably didn't go to bed. was kind of, it was like tossing and turning all night. I was just so freaked out about the situation. And I remember Joe getting a hold of me the next day, sending me like a kiss face. This was before emojis came out, so you had to actually use like symbols. And he sent me like a kiss face. He's like, "Thanks for a good time last night. I had a lot of fun. We should do that again." And my memory was kind of like in and out about that night. I wasn't sure if I was dreaming about being molested or if that had really happened. So I asked him, I said, "I have a really weird question. I don't really remember much last night. I must have drank too much, not thinking anything of it." Because that's what I thought. And he goes, no, nothing happened. We had dinner. You puked, and I took you home, honey. That's what happened." And he played it off like that, and I thought, okay, I guess I was just having a bad dream. And that's why I told myself, I had this really weird dream that we had sex last night. And he goes, no, honey, we didn't. So do you want to do something this weekend? And anyway, I went into this cycle of, okay, sure, why not? This was happening for a long time, for like a good year. We would get together, he would drug me, he would get me drunk, and he would rape me. Eventually I was aware of the situation, and I was so fucked up and numb at the time that I just kept accepting the fact that he was just gonna rape me over and over again. And it was whenever he wanted. And at the time, I was getting stuff. I was getting brand new clothes. I was getting money. I was getting a lot of money. I was getting like $500 sometimes. Sometimes I was getting $1,000. And every time it was, "Did you think I was just going to give that to you for free? Do you think I was just going to be nice to you? No, you owe me for that." And then next thing you know, he was molesting me again. For the satisfaction that he spent $500 on me. And he would help me pay for stuff. And at the time, I just got a job at Starbucks. So he was helping me out because I didn't have the money to do anything. Then when I finally awoke, I mean, this was happening. I was going to his house. He was sneaking me into his house. I was going over there in the middle of the night because he ended up on an ankle monitor and gel, and I didn't even think anything of it at the time, but it had to do with him having sex with an underage girl, and he got in trouble for it, and I didn't realize at the time that I was being trafficked, and that was what was happening. He was making me pay for sex to pay him back for the debt that I had caused him. And anyway, it's kept happening, and I just remember one specific time when enough was enough for me, and I kind of fucking woke up. He literally was just giving me pills all the time, and alcohol, smoking marijuana, I mean, and it was just me drinking, and I guess I never realized how weird it was that I was the one drinking, and I was the one popping the pills, and I was the one smoking the weed, and he never touched any of it, never. Ever. And he had been drugging me the whole entire time. When I was drinking, he would put in drugs so I would forget and it would be too drunk. And I remember this one time. It all started that I was like, "Oh, I'm really fucking bored. You want to hang out?" At the time, we lived really close to each other. Like, if I was to walk, I'd say it was a good 20-minute walk just from my house to his house. And I remember walking in the middle of the night, and I went over there because he was on an ankle monitor, so he couldn't leave the house. So I walked over there. He offered me a taxi, and I said, "No, I don't want a taxi. I'll just walk over there," because I didn't want him to make me have sex with him again just to be able to get that ride. It was hot. It was a hot summer night. And I went over there, knocked on the door, and everything was fine. We started watching a movie and stuff. At this point, I hadn't had any alcohol, no pills, nothing. and everything was fine, when suddenly he said, "Would you like a drink?" And he had got two cups this time, which was not normal. Like I said, I was the only one who was drinking. And he said, "I have some really good tequila. I think that you will like it." And I said, "Okay, sure." He acted like he took the shot. Because I actually witnessed it without him realizing it, that I saw him throw it into a plant after he acted like he did it. I put the tequila in my mouth and I kind of kept it in there enough where I could kind of talk a little bit and act like it was just like, "Oh, this is so good, but oh, I'm like, oh, it's tequila," kind of thing. And I said, "I had to go to the bathroom." And I remember him saying, "Oh, okay, hold on, honey, before you go to the bathroom, here, you want this?" And it was some kind of pill. I don't even know what kind of pills he was giving me at this point. But it was some kind of pill, and I said, "Okay." He gave me more tequila to shoot it down, but at this point, I had a mouthful of fucking tequila, and I had a pill just tucked up underneath my tongue. I went to the bathroom, and I just violently started to puke. I wanted it out of my system. I spit the tequila out, I spit the pill out, but I just violently started puking. I turned on the water so he couldn't hear me puking. And that's when I realized, what the fuck? When he knocked on the door, he said, "Jasmine, is everything okay? You've been in there in a while." Like, I've been in there for like less than 5 minutes, by the way. And he goes, "You need to open the door. Come on, come on, open the door." And that's when he broke down the door and forcefully raped me right then and there. And he goes, "That is a bad thing, Jasmine. That was a bad girl. You shouldn't have never done that." And he violently starts choking me and raping me at this point. And he's getting very physically aggressive with me as he's raping me. And at the time, I guess I didn't realize what was going on. And at that very moment in time, I woke up. I had the courage to get up and I left. I left the house. I ran. I ran and ran and ran until I got somewhere where I felt safe, which just so happened to be at a gas station. And there was lights around me, and I went in there and I was crying, and the guy asked me, "Are you all right?" And at this point, I didn't trust anybody. I didn't trust men, and I was scared, and I didn't know what to do, and I just ran out of there. I went back home. I acted as if nothing ever happened. By the time I got home, everybody thought I was just drunk, so I played it off as I was drunk. And yeah, and I said, "I'll never fucking do that again." I messaged him and I said, "Leave me the fuck alone. I will give you money. I promise you, I'll give you money. I'll give you all the money back that I owe you." At this point, he'd given me like $3,000. I think at this point it was $3,000. Give me $3,000. And at this point, I didn't know what to fucking do. I was working minimum wage, and back then minimum wage was like $5, and I was only working like 30 hours a week, if that. And then it went down to like 20 hours. So at this point, I barely was making like $200 checks. And I was just like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I don't know what to do. So I got into this funk again, and I messaged him again like weeks later. I told him about everything. And I said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to act like that." We ended up in the desert. I drank more tequila, smoked more weed, took some pills, got numb. He raped me again. At this point, I was just accepting it because I knew this was the only way that I would be able to pay him off. And I said, "This is the last time." He said, yeah, "This is going to be the last time. I promise." And then he raped me again. He raped me about 3 times that night, and eventually, as I was getting sober, I fucking got up, I kicked him in the nuts, and I headbutted him with my head, and I tried to run. He picked me up, he tied me up, he wrapped my arms and hands and my feet up, and he put me in the back of his truck, and he started to drive. I started screaming for help. He came back. He gagged me. So as I'm gagged, I'm trying to kind of thing. We were going by, no one could hear me because there was like ATVs and dirt bikes going by that time. He had music playing, so nobody would even know that I was even in this truck. I was kicking, I was trying to to get the gag out. I was trying to get the ropes off. I couldn't. I sat there and I remember looking up at this guy and I said, God, I need the strength to get through this. Help me. And somehow, miraculously, at that point in time, I figured a way to untie my hand, ungag myself. And we were at a point where we were slow enough that I jumped out of the back of this truck, rolled, and I ran home. I told my mom, because at the time I had scratch marks all over my neck. At this point in time, I told my mom about it. I called the cops. The cops arrested him prior to me not knowing about him and his pedophile background. He ended up getting arrested and going to prison. Facebook was now a thing years later. It's popular. He got a hold of me and I said, fuck you. You know, you deserve to fucking rot in prison. Because I'm a different man, Jasmine. I'm not that. We're older now. I was stupid. This was a good 4 years later after being in prison. As a registered sex offender, I ended up getting back with him and helping him sell some drugs and weed. I got in trouble with it. Thank God at the time, the cops saw his background and was like, no, she's not safe. But I didn't trust the cops. But I only got off with like a tiny little ticket. And if it wasn't for me being drunk and trying to jump out of a car on the middle of a busy road, they would have never seen me. He raped me a few times after that. I never really told anybody that. To this day, nobody really knows that except for two people close to me. Other than that, I've never really told anybody that. So, later down in my life, this is around the time now that I've had my child. I'm 25. No, I'm 20. Yeah, I'm 25. I meet somebody else. This is where Joe Bob comes in. Same kind of thing started. I thought that I was just talking to somebody. Next thing I know, it was, give me some oral sex and I'll give you some money. That's how it started. And then next thing I knew, I was in a really bad fucked up situation with him, and I ended up in a relationship with this person, legitimately in a relationship. Later in our relationship, after the control came and like no one can have you but I can only have you kind of situation, we came into a situation where his parent died, and because of his parent dying, he went into a really bad depression and he started drinking heavily and starting to smoke a lot of weed and pop pills. Sound familiar? At this point in time, we needed rent money. I needed the money for my daughter to have a place over her head. I was living in the low-income housing, but because I had a boyfriend that I moved in, my rent went up, like, to an actual rent. So my low income, which was like only $20 a month at the time, ended up being like $500 a month. I couldn't afford that because at the time I was only on food stamps. I didn't have a job. I was looking for a job. My mental health was very fucked by this point in my life because of all the trauma I went through. I went through being a first-time mother with a traumatic experience, and it was really rough. It was really fucking rough. And at this point in time, I didn't know what to do, and he said, I have an idea. And I said, what? He goes, I know somebody. And I said, okay. He goes, he can help us. And I said, okay. I thought maybe because at the time my daughter was like a year old. Not even a year old, I don't think, at this point. I was like, okay, I have a room, maybe I can rent it out. That's what I was thinking. Now, hey, can you have your mom watch the kid tonight? Sure. Why not? It's the weekend. I deserve to have a little fun. Why not? Got drunk, popped pills. He came over. There was nothing about me knowing anything on what was happening. But he said, I'm gonna have sex with you. And I said, no, you're not. He goes, yes, it is. You're gonna, I'm paying for your rent. You're gonna have sex with me. So I had sex with him. But again, I was molested. I felt so dirty and disgusted. I cried and cried and cried. After that, my boyfriend had sex with me. I couldn't even take a shower. He had sex with me. He's like, you're a dirty little slut. I like that about you. I cried. He didn't care. He was like, okay, well, now we know how to get us rent money. He literally was sending, he was on Craigslist, and he was sending my, he was taking pictures of me without me knowing while I was sleeping. After drugging me up and stuff, he would take pictures of me naked, him taking pictures of me having sex with him, pictures of me giving him oral sex, me, pictures of me bent over with my ass up in the air, all while I was just sleeping. He took these pictures and he posted them on the internet. At the time, I didn't know any of this was going on. I just know that weekends when my mom would take my daughter, there would be just people coming in and out of the house. There were times where they would blindfold me so I didn't see their identity. And I'd be like really concerned. I didn't know. None of them would use protection. I was very concerned about not just pregnancy, but having some kind of sexual transmitted disease of some sort. I was so scared. Sometimes my boyfriend would have sex with me forcefully while blindfolded, like bend me over while I had to like perform oral sex with somebody. This happened for a while, and this was to pay my rent. And all behind my back, I didn't know that these pictures were put up. I didn't know that I was being basically prostituted, slash didn't know until later in life that it was a form of trafficking. I was being trafficked to not just please him, but to get money to pay for my rent, get money to buy my daughter clothes, get money to buy something nice that I wanted or needed. And it happened for a year. At the time, I hadn't really told anybody what was happening, but I had gotten contact with my baby daddy. And at this point in time, my boyfriend had hit me, threw me on the bed and raped me, and he said, you wish this was him, don't you? Don't you, bitch? And he spit on my face at that point in time. And he started to rape me, and then as he was getting off, he got off on all over my body and says, this is what you get for being a dirty fucking slut, fucking whore. Slapped me across the face, and he left. I remember locking the doors. I remember he took my internet, which at the time my phone was connected to the internet. I didn't have an actual phone. He had taken that away from me. He took everything possible for me to be able to contact anybody. And I just remember being so scared and stuff. Eventually, I was able to buy myself one of those prepaid phones. And I was able to contact somebody. And he came back to get his shit, but it had been already, at the time I was in an apartment, I left it outside with a note that said, don't ever fucking contact me again. I went to my landlord. My landlord did not give a shit what was happening. She did not care. She wasn't listening to me. I felt as though she thought that I deserved it, kind of thing. And I said, I need him off the lease. they would not take him off the lease because all they were worried about was fucking their money. And they said, who cares? I need the money. And, yeah, I was scared. I actually had to call a friend. Who was that friend that I thought? It was Joe from years ago. Who came to me with alcohol and pills and weed to numb me. And he molested me the same night that my boyfriend left me and beat and molested me. He ended up back in prison that week for another fucking charge for molesting a young girl. I was in such a sick cycle, and I didn't know, and I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it, and looking back on that, it makes me so sad, and it makes me sick, and there's things that I did that I am not proud of, and those are things that make me feel guilty that I have to live with every day. It made me very... It was very hard for me to be in relationships. Not only was it hard for me to be in relationships, but it was hard to love myself. I didn't want to go to therapy. I didn't want to be on the pills that the doctor gave me, because I never wanted to feel the way I did when I got put on, when I was taking pills and getting raped. So I was scared to take the pills for a long time. And quite honestly, I've not been very open about this, but I think right now, living in the time that we're living in, where sex trafficking is at an all-time high, I think that it's very important that I tell my story to you people. Know that there is a way out. If the younger version of me, the younger Jasmine, could get a message, my message, not only to myself, but to you guys, there is a way out if you're in this kind of situation. There's always a way out. You have to fight your way out sometimes. But I promise you, there is a way out. It's not going to be easy, and it's going to be very hard when you get out. But there is going to be support out there for you. And it's going to... it's going to be very hard, but you can do it. You're stronger than you can ever imagine you are. And I just wanted to remind you that you can get help if you're a victim of sex trafficking or human trafficking in general. There is help for you, and you can get help and report a tip if you see somebody. If you guys see somebody who looks like they're very abused and they're doped out, most likely they are trafficked and they are reaching out somehow and they don't know how. So keep that in the back of your mind next time you see a girl who may be all beaten up, who is very skinny and seems very, very skittish and may be drugged up. They may be asking for help and don't know how to get out of it. So if you need help personally, or if you see somebody, please report a tip and find services and learn about your options. Again, the Human Trafficking National, I should say, the National Human Trafficking Hotline provides assistance to victims in crisis through safety planning, emotional support, and connections to local resources. And that is 1-888-373-7888. You can text HELP to be free, which is HELP 233-733. Email HELP at humantraffickinghotline.org, or visit the Human Trafficking Line at www.humantraffickinghotline.org. It's confidential, it's 24 hours, and it's 100% toll-free and confidential. Again, for the Human Trafficking Hotline, it is the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 373-788. Text HELP to be free. Text HELP to 233-733. Email help@humantraffickinghotline.org or visit www.humantraffickinghotline.org for 100% confidentiality, toll-free, and it's 100% open 24/7 for your help and support. With that being said, I'm sorry that I leave you with a very heavy podcast today. I don't know what I call a podcast, guys. Let me say episode. I know that I've left you with a very heavy episode today. But I really think that it is very important for me personally to tell my story out there in hopes that this will reach somebody who may be needing help, for those who may have gone through this, for those who may have lost somebody through this. Just know that there is a way out and that there is help. With that being said, I love you guys very much. And I hope that you have a great rest of the day. Love you. Bye.